don't be a lying sack of shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not. It doesn't bode well for the liar usually.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that difficult. I often wonder. Okay. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I spent plenty of time as a you know, a shitbag teenager lying about everything. You know, trying to get out of like trouble or whatever. But at some point, you recognize that just telling the truth is the best way to go. And interestingly enough, we were just having this conversation to our podcast listeners. Is that I fucked something up at work. I fucked it up. It was me. It wasn't anybody else. And
you took responsibility.
I did take responsibility. It is I'm giving you guys a professional tip. All right. And I'm giving you more than the tip.
Oh yeah. I forgot about this. Yeah. The more than professional tip with Jeff Beck. This doesn't have to be a permanent segment, but
a segment. Does this get music to it too?
Yeah. I might put a little sting right here. Boom.
More than the tip with Jeff Beck.
That's better.
And this is it. If you want to be a professional and you want to succeed at whatever work you're doing, don't be a liar. Take responsibility for everything. Jocko would approve of this. Take responsibility for everything. Don't be a shitbag. If you fuck something up, just say, hey, you know what? I'm a human being. And you're right, I fucked this up. I am so sorry. You are now my priority to fix this problem. And you will be.
Yeah.
And then go fix the problem. Episode 3 of the 6 a.m. podcast.
This is perfect.
Welcome, everybody. Go ahead, Pat. Hit me. Question time.
You have the responsibility. This is a choice.
Okay, choice.
Will
question.
You or won't you?
Okay.
If you had the choice to have your balls removed, would you?
No.
Okay. Why?
Why? Okay, so here's okay, so
truly.
Right now, okay, first of all, there's a variety of reasons why I would not want my balls removed. It would include
name them in order.
Look, first of all, I've grown attached to them.
Okay. You were grown attached to them.
Yes,
but,
I know.
Either
okay,
way.
You got the joke. Okay, so anyway, the second one is that this is the natural resource for your testosterone. Okay, so I don't want to have to take a testosterone supplement for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Okay, so I like that idea. And here's a crazy thing. Again, in terms of like vulnerability, I have 4 children. I'm done having children.
Right.
Okay. And I do believe, and I will say this because I'm a professed feminist as well, I do believe that it is the male's responsibility for contraception in as much as it's a woman's responsibility for contraception if you don't want to have children. However, I have not gotten a vasectomy.
Oh, really?
And the reason I haven't is because I'm having a really hard time with like thinking about that I'm not able to reproduce ever again.
Okay.
And I'm not interested in reproducing with anybody other than my wife, but like at the same time, and it would be unwise for her to be pregnant at this time. So there's really no reason why I don't just get them snipped.
You know what's really funny is this is really interesting because like you have that mentality, but it seems like women, like men, it should really be men's responsibility to have contraception. It's so much easier just to put the bag around it.
Yeah, put the bag.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, but it always seems to be the woman's choice of the pregnancy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like when the pregnancy does happen, it always seems to come down to, as much as you always want to discuss it, it always comes down to like what is the woman's decision, and that's where I go like, okay, so then I don't understand that dynamic, but
I'll explain it to you.
I'll explain why I was asking why if you would choose to have your balls cut off after that.
No, I would not. And so, you know, and I will explain this to you just in brief, and then I'll ask you why you want your balls cut off. Because clearly
not now. Not right now.
Something you're thinking about is that the reason that women get to choose on that is because I've seen my wife have three pregnancies and give birth to three children. Okay, and I'm going to tell you. Okay, good. That's, no, no, there we go. I think
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, right. Like I've seen this, and
right.
Yeah.
And as soon as you're able to grow a human being inside of you, right. then you can make that choice as well.
Yeah, I get that. It really was kind of a rhetorical question.
So it really was. So Pat, let me ask you a question. Why do you want your balls cut off?
Again, not right now, but it would be. A thing of it seems to be my one truest, if not like really the only physical weakness I have.
Okay.
Like truly, and I don't think, and this is not a chauvinistic or this is not. I'm not taking a stand. I just truly believe that women don't understand how like Like, I can do that. Like, in a fight, I'm not talking about in a fight,
okay.
Jeff. I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about when you're least expecting it and you just go to sit down.
And you take one.
Say
you've
got a nice
team.
Cold old Milwaukee in your hand and you're going to sit down on the couch. Let's say everybody's out of the house.
They're all gone.
Happen to have the whole house to yourself. You can watch anything you want. You can do anything you want.
It's Judge Judy.
You're going to sit. Really? We'll get into that later. Well, you go to sit down and you just sit wrong.
Yeah.
And then your day is ruined.
It is ruined.
That's why it's like one of those things of like if it truly that lurking that fucking little Jaws shark in the water is almost reason to like at one point I would understand just straight up.
I would commiserate with you on.
But I understand the testosterone. I did not think of that. I didn't think of the gland part of
it. Yeah, I will commiserate with you and just because here's the thing. There was a moment here recently in which I was intimate with my lady.
Ooh, yeah, don't go into detail, but
I'm not going to go into detail, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I'm down there.
So this is what it looked like.
Yeah.
Anyway. At the end of this intimate relationship that we had at
yes,
this moment,
of course,
is that like you know there's cleanup involved. Which, by the way, I always hated about movies because like when you were a kid and you watch like Skinamax,
mm-hmm.
right, the
yeah,
B-rated
yeah.
porn, and they just roll over and like
lay
it's
down
nothing
in
like
silk
like,
sheets.
Yeah, like there's not a mess in there. Like no, you got to get up and go to the bathroom, son.
Yeah.
So at any rate, I like one of my balls was missing. Okay, you come on. Everybody's a dude knows that like they can roll around in there. They roll up into your abdomen or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it started to freak me out because I honestly got confused as to which one was missing, and I couldn't find it. And I'm like, where the hell is it?
Oh no!
Yeah,
you wanted to send a search party, but you didn't know how to make the flyers.
Right, and I didn't want to ruin this moment by being like, "Where's one of my balls?"
Honey, what's wrong? Nothing.
Listen,
I know.
I know everyone's on pins and needles right now. I did find it, and it was fine.
Thank God.
It was all good.
Okay.
But there was a moment where I was like, fuck this, man. Yeah.
I need a flashlight.
That's right. Just get rid of them. Like, they're stupid. Yeah. Just getting in the way.
But shout out to Stanley, who did have...
Ooh, Lord Stanley did get the snip.
An elective surgery that was not his... He did not elect. it was elected for him.
It
and,
was, yeah.
It was a dictated...
Voluntarily mandatory.
Yeah, dictated neutership.
Dictated.
And so I wanted... He's on the mend right now. He's coning it downstairs, and I love him. But that just made me think of, like, man, like, they just... And the guy said, oh, he's under 5 minutes. We just took it out.
Yeah.
2 days with a cone, then, you know,
yeah.
Just make sure he doesn't lick it too much.
And you were like oh, you, yeah. And you thought, like, I could handle that if
yeah.
it was you. You're
that's
like,
it?
5 minutes and a cone?
Just get your balls cut off?
Right.
But also, I'm not peeing on the couch. So
that's true, too. So when,
my balls can stay
when, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What do you call a penis in a potato? A dictator.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, man. So how you been, Jeff?
Good, man. Everything's been great, man. I shout out to our 6 a.m. listeners, man. Everybody's been like we're getting back up on it, and the listeners are coming back in. We're getting a lot of questions for Ask a Black Belt, which is really encouraging. So I just want to say thanks to everybody that's participated. Great questions. There's been a lot of good feedback from people on the episode. So
I'm getting
excited.
A lot of shame.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of shame for my boiled dog.
The boiled hot dog. Yeah,
yeah.
It's probably worked out as predicted.
And I've said some really dumb shit on here.
Yeah,
and that's
that's the one that got him.
That's the one that was like, that's the line.
There was like a whispering threat this morning at class.
Yeah.
I noticed over the boiled hot dog.
I was stretching, and a listener of the show, Adam, came over and and said you should be, I think he said, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Right. Because you're a monster.
Well, yeah, because I'm a monster because I like boiled hot dogs. And I said, look, man, look, you got, not that I have to justify it to him or anybody out there, but listen, for the last time, if there's any other meat that tasted that good, boiled in water, I'd eat it that way too. It's the easiest way to do it. You set it, you forget it, you walk away, you come back later. You can't overcook hot dogs.
Yeah.
You can only make them plumper.
Right, in the from a boiling standpoint. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You can blow them up in a microwave though.
Yeah, and that's another thing is people microwave hot dogs. There is bigger monsters than
I would agree. I think microwave is probably the worst and then followed by boiled.
But like I said, how else are you going to you're going to push them down the street and sell them on the street? So I just appreciate the fact that even though it's negative feedback, hey, look, it's feedback. Now we know.
Yeah.
I just won't mention my meat preferences anymore.
Great. Well, you've just ruined the next six episodes, Adam.
Yeah.
Because that's all we're going to talk about.
Taking that topic right off the table.
Yep.
We were going to talk about prime rib today, but you know what?
No. Forget it.
Not anymore.
No.
Love it boiled.
Maybe you can apologize and I'll think about it.
Boiled prime rib. It's delicious.
It's so gross. Oh, man. Things have been good, man. It's been good. How about yourself, man? How's the week shaping up?
Good. So far, so good. I'm busy putting out the latest episode of Hacks came out.
Saw it.
Some episodes of Falls Count Anywhere, some other stuff. Staying busy. Got a show in Virginia coming up next week, I believe, next Thursday.
Live and in person.
But it'll be a lot of fun. So
go see some comedy. Good. Are you working on any new material or putting
some,
any?
Yeah.
Good.
It's working on my I thought I had a complete feature set exactly how I wanted it, but like I just took a couple pieces from that and I've built a whole another one.
Let me ask you this question. What is your level of nerves before you go on live? Are you good with it nowadays, or are you still nerve-wracking?
It's not like a nerves like in the sense of like I'm in my head, like I'm not like picturing I'm gonna suck or don't fuck up or you're gonna forget. It's not like that. But I can tell when I'm anxious or I'm nervous because I start yawning a lot. It's the weirdest fucking
thing. That's crazy. So does my dog.
Really?
Yeah. When he's anxious, he yawns. That's what he does.
So yeah, that makes sense.
My son does the same thing too. When he's really been out of shape or nervous or anxious, like he'll yawn. He'll start yawning a lot.
It's a really fun phenomenon. My brother actually, every time you say the word yawn, he yawns.
Yeah, I know. We've talked about this before.
It's really interesting. Yeah. So it's a weird yawning thing. I don't know. Obviously, it's so funny because I'll yawn, and I get up on stage and I'm fine. Not like I'm like still going. Anyway,
I'm so excited to be here.
But I always seem to mistake that for like being tired.
Yeah,
but I've realized recently that it is nerves. So that's about it. But
that's interesting.
That's about the level of it. I've the nerves part of it, or the rust, I think part of it is gone.
Yeah,
I feel good now.
Playing live music, for instance, is akin to it. But it's, you know, in the beginning, like I'm at this point in my career, or we'll call it career.
Yeah.
And then this part, at this point, like I don't really get that nervous anymore. I get amped up, but I'm not like, you know, I'm not like, ooh,
I get excited.
Yeah, I get excited. So, yeah, I was just curious about that. But let me ask you this, because this is a great segue into like our main topic for today is like, how would one go about relaxing in this environment?
Well. Now, a fun thing that I like to do to unwind, not necessarily that I need to calm my nerves beforehand, but doesn't hurt all the time, is maybe a little bit of the Mary Jane.
Oh.
And
that's our main topic today is on the marijuana.
Medical and recreational.
Interesting.
Because there is both.
Now listen, we're at a perfect time right now to start talking about this because we like as a nation, like there are a lot of states that are legalizing the use of marijuana, either medicinally or recreationally. And we're like Pennsylvania's in flux. You can get a medical marijuana card at this point and partake, but we're not open yet to recreational use of marijuana. And what was interesting about this is one of the things that we want to talk about as a main topic today is that like the use of marijuana in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And this was kind of inspired by a great segment that was on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel this last week on HBO. If you guys have HBO, you can check it out. And it more focused on the entrepreneurial side of, you know, starting a business in marijuana and growing and distributing and so forth. It was a great piece. But anyway, it just got me thinking about this. I mean, we know, like, as Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioners, there is a I think there's an entire population of jiu-jitsu practitioners who think that smoking marijuana is not only great for Brazilian jiu-jitsu, for rolling, for the grappling arts, but great for recovery and other health benefits. In addition to this, we also know that, like, for a lot of our, like, underground, like, 'cause we're, you know, we're kind of focusing in a lot of the, like, the underground scenes and so forth, and how this has transitioned into adulthood. I mean, it was just a part of our lives growing up. I have not personally smoked marijuana since I was, like, 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah.
But you are a daily recreational. Can I say that on the podcast?
Yeah.
You're a daily recreational user, but also you probably have a different perspective. You use it for a variety of reasons. So, give our listeners a little bit about, like, kind of like your history of where, when you introduced to marijuana, like, how do you use it now versus how you used it then, that kind of thing.
I would say I was probably introduced to it in my teens.
Sure.
I was actually terrified of it at first, like when it was getting passed around or anything like that. Couple times that I had tried it, it was at, like, a friend of my brother's, their apartment. We're hanging out in their room, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's hanging out in a circle. And anytime I would do it, I would just sit there and I would just think, I would do all the stereotypical things that everybody would think of, like, you know, have I talked too much? Am I, you know, is everybody looking at me? What do I look like? What's going on? You know, all that
the
shit.
The paranoia from smoking. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was straight paranoid for a long time. So I actually didn't really partake a lot throughout my youth, like, every once in a while. And I found the math, you know, the beer before liquor, never sicker.
Yeah.
And liquor before beer, you're in the clear.
Right.
All the other, like, things that, and for some reason, like, whether it's a placebo effect or you're just being mindful while you're drinking somehow, those things, like, add up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, what happened? Oh, liquor before beer, you're in the clear, don't worry.
Yeah.
I found that if I would drink or get drunk and then smoke, I always threw up.
Okay.
Like, that was the end of that. That was, I black out.
Yeah,
that's it.
Night's over.
Yeah,
right.
It's over with. And so I would basically, it never was a huge part of my life for most of my life.
Okay.
So until I was 27, when I turned 27, I decided, that's when I quit smoking cigarettes.
Okay.
Which I had started when I was 16.
Gotcha.
And at that time, I also wanted to drink less. So at the end of the night, I wanted to have something to kind of, like, unwind. You know,
still party, but not still, really.
Yeah, still hang out.
But not
be
out of control or blackout.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But with no alcohol, I found that I was a lot more, like, the weed had a lot better effect on me.
Okay.
So, like, it helped me think clearer. It, like, helped my anxiety, my social anxiety.
Sure.
Stuff like that. It's been a benefit for me ever since I started doing it. And I kind of see, I've learned in a very safe place, like, a very safe way.
Sure.
A lot of the, like, culture and or, like,
No, that's
etiquette,
that's interesting.
Of
etiquette,
of
good
that
one.
Stuff, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. So and I think that, like, it's kind of the question we're going to lead to here is, and then how it applies to, you know, athletics and so forth, is that, you know, when we're young, we're doing that stuff to get fucked up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, You're smoking as much as you can, or you're drinking as much as you can, or you're doing as much as you can so that you can black out.
And that was that was funny because in that scenario, it's too much for me.
Right.
I can't do this thing where I'm partying and let's fucking party and smoke to party.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that guy.
Right.
I don't smoke and party. You know what I mean?
So it's one of those exactly. Things. So talk to us about, like,
it was not
about
that.
How, like, it's become, like, part of your daily. Like, how did this, like, and what benefits are there to you from your perspective?
Yeah.
You know,
in
talk
way,
about the culture a little bit.
I think there's degrees of, like, a self-medication in the sense of, I don't think that this is replacing any sort of medication that I need.
Right.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying the self-medication in that sense. I'm saying more of the haven't had my coffee yet today kind of thing.
Sure.
I need my fish oil so I, you know,
yeah,
my
yeah.
joints and my heart feel good and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's more of that. But I use it in a cognitive way. So I in a way where it helps me focus.
Okay.
So in a daily sense, like when I wake up, it's not, I don't ever wake up going like, wake and bake, gotta fucking pack a bowl or whatever, you know. Like, and I think that's a stigma that I think a lot of times happens as far as like,
for sure, it's reefer madness.
If I were to be as a daily user, I am somebody that's in the culture, and I would be a lot of times referred to as a pothead or stoner or something like that because you'd go daily smoker, must wake up, wake and bake, fucking And I will say this day, like once a day, pretty much since I was 27.
Okay.
Like, this is the all of my weight loss, all of the self-reflection and the, you know, the way I think, my perception, I can't just credit to, like, marijuana. I'm not saying that's the, that, I'm not saying that's the one catalyst.
Fucking, this podcast is over, man. We just,
guys, you don't have to listen to us, just go smoke weed.
That's right. We don't need anything else. We're done.
No, it's more of like, it's just another thing that I've added that has helped me.
Right.
So it's a, you know, Dominique is another huge factor in that and just overall my perspective.
Sure.
So, but on a daily use, it used to be kind of my glass of wine at the end of the day.
Okay.
Help us unwind. Help me not, because I really, really hated my job. When I was living in Florida, I hated the place I worked. I hated my life as that. My professional life was fucking dog shit and I hated it.
Okay.
Because it was I was being mistreated and not standing up for myself. It was a lot of like that kind of that. So at the end of the day, I kind of needed to just be able to calm those thoughts and just kind of hang out.
Sure.
And just, you know, watch some cool art and just go to bed.
Yeah.
Or some hockey or whatever, hang out with my wife and my friends and just, and be, and that helped me be more present when I wanted to be.
Right.
I could zone out while I was in work, but when I came home, I didn't want to be stressed out from work. And it wasn't always.
That's interesting, though, that you bring this up. I don't mean to interrupt you, but but you're talking about, instead of it being a form of escapism, you actually wanted to be, instead of the ills of your day influencing your time with your family and your friends, it helped you become more focused and more in the moment.
Right. It's almost like it helps me. Like, I'm not saying that it doesn't make me, like, more self-conscious and more aware, but I like that.
Right.
It helps me to go, like, because I can deal with problems, but if I'm just sitting here and nothing's actively wrong, but I know there's a bunch of stuff looming, I'll get that anxiety and I'll shut down.
Okay.
But if I can just sort through it, it just kind of just bring, it just helps in that sense. I can't explain it. It just,
I think there probably is a
medicine that would, I guess.
You're doing a good job of explaining that.
It's one of those things. I've never been an expert on this before.
Well, you're articulating it very well.
But it's not literally like waking up and going like, I need this to function.
Sure.
I don't need it like that, but it does play a part in some part of my day every day.
Okay.
And, but like a lot of times, like if I don't like doing it before, going to like MMA class or something like that.
Sure.
And not because I feel like it would have an effect on me taking in any of that information. I just don't want to like smell like it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to like get tied up with somebody and be like, you fucking pothead.
You know,
I have him just beat the shit out of me, some like peak athlete.
Just to show you what time it is.
Yeah. Like, come on. Like, so, or have them think it's just one of those things. It's I can function without it fine. It's not, it doesn't rule my life, but it's a thing that like, it can be recreational for me, but it mainly is one of those things of, it just helps me sort through a lot of those things. And as far as like sports or anything like that, when I come home from jiu-jitsu and stuff like that, I'll sit at my desk and a lot of, you know, your back hurts and you're kind of like,
oh, sure. I mean, everything hurts. And I'm like, especially after Tuesday class.
Yeah. And you're just kind of like, you almost hunt, like, and especially in a desk,
lot of us spend a lot of time sitting. Yeah.
You can hunch, you can do this. It's so strange, but I notice like if I just take one hit of a bowl or something like that, I kind of sit up and then I'm able to just start going through
work.
The creative things. Like, it helps in a creative sense, but it's not that crutch. It's so hard to explain the benefits without it saying like, not that I can't do those things without it, but like I will say that I give credit to the fact that it helps me in a way that like it helps me in a way that I think a lot of people find as a adverse effect.
Sure.
Like the self-conscious and stuff like that. I use that time to self-reflect.
Gotcha.
Am I talking too much? No. You know what I mean? Like, I've just gotten better at like being nervous. It can be such a great enhancement to whatever mood dominates your life.
Gotcha.
So whatever it does, it can dominate. So if you're a paranoid person, it will magnify that. If you're a chill person, it will probably magnify that. Like,
sure.
It kind of magnifies your truest form. And I'm an anxious person, but I work well under stress.
Okay, gotcha.
So it kind of puts me in my comfort zone.
So let me ask you this question. So, in terms of like, and I will call it dosing, right? Like, when you're on a prescribed medication, there is a dose. You know, this is what you're supposed to take in order to like manage a certain level.
Yeah.
Is that have you done this throughout your life where you've increased or decreased your dosage?
Yeah.
Like in terms of like what works for you to achieve a certain effect. There's misnomers in this. Like,
okay, yeah.
First of all, one of the things that you addressed already, which I think is really important to note, is that like nobody gets addicted to marijuana. Yeah. Like it's not an addictive, you know.
You can have an addictive personality,
right.
And you can be impulsive. Like that's another thing is impulse control. I think a lot of time is mistaken for.
Right.
A substance abuse problem.
Exactly.
Because you just shift it. Like, if I also have, like, I'm too poor to have a gambling problem. But if I get a little bit of money and I remember, oh, yeah, I fucking love gambling, it can get bad quick.
Sure.
I'm a very impulsive person.
Okay, gotcha.
So I can understand that. I am very cognitive of, or I'm more aware, let me say, of the fact of, like,
well, cognitive is correct. That's
okay.
The correct
yeah, it's I'm more aware of my intake.
Okay.
Of it, but I haven't like I don't have to manage it. It's not like before performing. Let's say.
Sure.
I haven't noticed any kind of like benefit or adverse effect of like getting ripped and going on stage.
Right.
It kind of is about the same success rate as if I go up stone sober.
Gotcha.
So I've found that I think this is exactly what you're talking about. I found that if I smoke about an hour before I go up.
Okay.
I've had the best results as far as, and I have done that. I have done it like where hit the pen, go up on stage. Or if they're like hit the
and
pen
then it,
on
and then
my
it hits
way
you
in.
Like, right, yeah. Like 5 minutes into like, your set and you're like, oh, fuck.
And what really happens, Jeff, is not the fact that I'm like, it's hard for me to like fake it.
Sure.
And especially if I'm at an open mic or like something there, I'm just like, I don't really like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, fuck you guys. Like, I've done it so many times where I go like, oh, clap. And they clap and I'm like, you fucking sheep. And it just makes me laugh. Nobody laughs at that. But it makes me laugh every time where I'm just like, I could just tell you to do something. You fucking do it, you losers. And I'm just like, that's not the outcome that I need.
It's right,
like,
right.
I'm literally just having fun just for me. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's not helping.
Well,
that's,
I don't know. I don't know that I
it's
would
agree.
It's
a good
agree.
Story.
Yeah, I think it's good. Yeah, yeah.
But it's still like, I in that case, yeah. But and also as before sleep. It helps a lot because
that I've heard a lot.
Yeah,
actually.
That it helps me to just like I said, the glass of wine deal of it is always the same. At the end of my day, it helps so much better for me to do that. I mean, melatonin helps,
sure,
but you have to time it. I wake up if I don't get more than 8 hours of sleep on melatonin, I feel groggy in the morning. I feel like shit, and like,
right.
I get a headache and all this other shit. And that's just fucking melatonin, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
right,
like,
I'm
not even talking about Ambien or anything else. If I have trouble sleeping and weed helps me sleep, I don't fucking care if you call me a stoner or a pothead. I'm going to do it every fucking day because I want to sleep fucking day.
Surprise. Yeah.
Surprise,
right.
Surprise, yeah, motherfuckers.
Yeah. We didn't want to give away the end, but yeah. Pat wants to sleep every night.
Love it. It's one of my favorite things I do. At the end of the day, ooh, I love that sleeping.
That's so funny, man. My wife's the same way. She just wants to sleep. She's like, I just want to get my rest. I want to be able to sleep. It's her favorite thing.
But if I get
sleeping,
woken up,
by the way.
Oh, really?
No, I hate it.
It's hard. It's so hard for me. It's so weird. I don't have like nightmares. I do, but not like night terrors.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean? I'm not
right.
having like sleep paralysis or some shit.
Sure, sure, sure.
But it's like one of those things of like it's just fucking hard. I use a fucking white noise machine. I use fucking I use a substance. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's all these other things that it's but that is, if I get woken up or something like that and I can't go back to sleep, I'm not like groggy, or I'm not making a sandwich or shaving my cat in the middle of the night. You know what I mean?
It's not like trying to glue his balls back on.
Jeff said, Pat, what are you doing? You know, like,
yeah.
I'll say that I do have a fear that of getting a professional diagnosis and have them saying or suggesting I'd be on some kind of real medication.
Maybe you shouldn't do this, right?
Yeah,
yeah. But I think it sounds to me like you're kind of in a position though that says that even if it stopped working for some reason, yeah, that you would be okay with that too.
I would go like, all right, well, you know, there, yeah, it worked well. Like, because I do find that, like I said, I don't smoke. I've done it before, like where I'll smoke before I go to like an open mat or something, like years and years. Like when I first started, I was like, because I literally said, like, is there a gain, or I noticed no difference.
Right, no difference.
It's the same success rate, so it's like, why waste it?
But let me ask you, do you notice a difference though, like in like the like you said, like your joint pain or healing process?
Afterwards, yeah. like I said, when I come home and I it makes me, it does help with that recovery. And I don't know if necessarily, I'm sure topical and or like an
sure,
and edibles never seem to have an effect on me.
Okay,
any kind of like eating them or anything like that, vaping and or smoking, like some kind of carcinogen involved. But like that's basically the high, and that's actually the best for me too, because the fear with me, honestly, and this is so funny because I mean I've done mushrooms, but I don't do hard drugs. I've done cocaine,
right,
ecstasy, any of the like drugs, heroin.
Right.
I guess go for it. If you want to try them, go for it.
No, but don't do them.
If you want. Not kids. Don't kids. Don't. Oh yeah, I forgot your kids.
don't do drugs.
They're terrible. But I have not done any of those drugs, so I can't honestly suggest them.
Right.
I can suggest the other ones. I can't pinpoint exactly what the fear is I have. I think it's the loss of control.
Well, I think
if I eat an edible and I'm like, and then I won't like weed anymore.
Right. So one of the things that we want to talk about is like the cons, and you were talking about like that, you know, there's a certain sense of feeling like maybe something bad is going to occur because of this. And I think a lot of that has to do with the social stigma around it. I mean, there is a sense always that like if you are a recreational user of marijuana, that you're a pothead.
Yeah.
That you're a loser. You know, it, of course, in a lot of states, including Pennsylvania, from a recreational standpoint, it's illegal.
Right.
So, I mean, there's plenty of dudes that are doing significant time in jail right now for marijuana.
Yeah.
You know, which is completely insane.
Yeah.
But I think those that are, you know, recreational or daily users of marijuana will say the same thing, that the pros outweigh the cons in this case. In that there's a lot to, especially if you're in athletics. One of the things that was fascinating about this HBO special is that at one point they were testing for, had to go into some sort of, like, I don't want to call it rehab, but the NBA made all the players have like an educational course on the use of marijuana.
Yeah, yeah.
And like out of like the 200 and some odd players that are in the NBA, like 3/4 of them had to go to this. So I mean, it's not like, you know, most of this is on the DL, right? We try not to talk about it openly or you know, say, yeah, I'm that guy or whatever. But the reality is that there's such a large population, at least in this country, if not the world over, that uses marijuana on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, in some form or fashion.
And yeah, and like I said, everybody has their preferred use usually. Like,
sure.
Somebody's like, oh, I like to, like, I have a buddy that like him and his wife every once in a while would just like pop some edibles and just hang out and watch a movie.
Sure.
Like that's the recreational part of it.
Yeah, that's recreation.
Like that's like,
right,
that's the thing of like, it's not so much abuse like that is like, people when they think recreational, again, they're thinking excess. They're thinking like somebody like Dominique would say to her doctor or something like that, I use it, or I do use it daily.
Yeah.
And her doctor gave her a pamphlet on addiction. and like help with the technology. And it's right. like, and this isn't like, this was like maybe a couple years ago.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, she's, and she really isn't as avid of a user as I am. But at the time, you know, like saying like, it feels weird because like, why sure. is my doctor making me feel my doctor and it's medicine in this state?
Right.
Do you know
right.
what I mean? Like I, but if now. I had a prescription and I use it every day, you go, oh, well, you might want to monitor that, or maybe like they're not educated on it.
Sure.
But they're it's the fact that like it's kind of like the way I feel about like amusement parks.
Okay.
I don't like riding the rides because I don't trust the fucking staff. Do you know what I mean? Like if yeah, I go to man. A doctor and the doctor's going to be like, you should be on Cymbalta or whatever. And it's like,
right.
Why do you have a Cymbalta shirt on? You know what I mean? But they're never like, you should be on a Sativa.
I understand
like,
what you're saying.
That's the education that I'm all for people going like, hey guys, it's totally cool that if you test positive for weed, it's just like alcohol. There's a lot of similarities. If you treated it like alcohol, like don't show up fucked up.
Yeah.
Don't do it, you know, don't in public.
Don't drive a motor vehicle.
Stuff like that. All of those things. Okay. Like as long as it's the same rules and we treat it the same way, but it's harder to police that way.
I don't want to get into the weeds in this podcast about like the difference between... about like, you know, drinking alcohol versus weed, because they're entirely two different things, and I really believe that like drinking like leads to alcoholism, liver disease, like any number of like, you know, fatal auto accidents and so on and so forth. I mean, it none of those things have ever happened with marijuana. That's that you can point to. I mean, you can't.
Not directly. Yeah,
you don't read in the news that someone smoked a bowl and wrecked their car into a van load of kids.
Yeah. I guess you or guy was so high. Yeah. You know, he survived crash.
Right.
Because one of those things of like drunk people, it's such a fucking weird thing to me that like drunk people like in accidents, like DUI cases where like they're like, oh yeah, this guy was fucking so drunk that when he plowed into that school bus full of kids, he was fine because he was passed out drunk.
Right.
So his body was limp and he was able to go. And it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things. That So you're right. There has been no real cases like that.
Yeah.
So it's
at least not to my knowledge. I'm sure someone in law enforcement would probably have a different story. But like
there's statistics.
Yeah. From a public perspective, like you don't see that.
Right.
You know, I don't know anybody that's happened to. I don't know anybody that.
Willie Nelson's bus. His mode of transportation was powered by weed. Hit zero people.
Right.
So, I would say I think we're okay.
Yeah, I think we're doing all right.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a hybrid, am I right?
Comedy.
I told you, I'm hot, baby. I'm going to Virginia. Hot.
Dude, well, listen, man. I mean, I think that's. I mean, obviously, I think you, along with a lot of other people, are looking forward to a time where you don't have to have the stress or anxiety over whether or not you're doing something that's illegal,
and
that the social stigma would dissipate over this. You know, in the meanwhile, like, you know, what would you say? Like, if you had to, like, if you had to give advice to somebody who's like in your boat, like, how do you? Because you seem to handle it really well, just in terms of like you're not closed off about it, you're not secret about it, you're kind of like no. And
well,
in some
you're
ways,
also not
say,
a cop.
True, but some
of you are.
Yeah, some of them are. We have a lot of people who are you know that are cops that are friends of ours that we roll with and so forth, but. You seem to be an advocate too, but not in the way that like you're not like shoving it down people's throats.
It's one of those things of like, it's illegal. If I get pulled over and I have some on me, I'll go, I got some. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because like I have no reason to hide it from you.
Which circles back to the beginning of our podcast, which we're talking about. Don't be an asshole.
Right. Just, you have no reason to lie.
Yeah. Just tell them the truth.
Right. I trust that as long as I treat everybody that is dealing with me with respect. At all times,
right.
Then I have nothing to worry about being myself because I've done that work. I've done it to where like does this make me like kind of a scumbag, or does this make me am I one of those?
You shouldn't. You really,
guys?
You really shouldn't though have to ask that question because you're not.
It doesn't hurt though. It doesn't hurt even because honestly, If it is just a simple no, it shouldn't take you that much time to figure it out.
I suppose, but I'm going to have to argue at that point and say like the reality is that the stigma of that requires you to ask that question.
But if people that were against it actually did that, Jeff, then we wouldn't be in the problem we are.
Fair enough.
Because then they go, oh, why do I don't actually give a shit.
Knuckle bump on that one, man. Boosh. Good one. Yeah. No, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they'd go like, fuck, like. Oh, I don't hate weed. I hate myself.
We'll watch the suicide rate like just explode.
No!
Nice going, Pat.
It's weed. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Please stop.
Oh, man.
But get help. If you need help, get help.
Yeah, no, we're certainly not talking about drug addiction, you know, and I think
in any sense.
No, in any sense. And that's, you know, that's stuff that's, and certainly we're not, I don't think either one of us is qualified to talk about that in as much as, like, just say don't, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've got a drug problem, get help.
Yeah, yeah. It's not important. A thing of, like, you don't have to turn to it. Don't turn to it because you think it's going to solve your problems.
Right.
But take a look at what you're doing. Because some of the problems may just be easy fixes.
Yeah.
Just maybe a tweak in your perspective or a tweak in your diet or a tweak in anything else. And so it's one of those things. And I got to tell you, I wasn't thinking like that before I was smoking weed every day. Just saying.
Yeah. Cool. That's awesome, man. Thanks for talking to everybody about that. Hey. And I appreciate it.
Hey, and if next week we're not able to do an episode, you'll... Let's just send your bail money to Baby Murray Productions, Cash App.
Make the check out to.
And fuck you guys for fucking busting me at the gym, you motherfuckers. Fuck you guys.
Oh,
fucking
man.
Not cool.
So, with all that said, what's on your turntable right now, my man?
Oh, my goodness, Jeff. Speaking of being creative and where the headspace I like to be, when I'm writing...
Yeah.
Or editing, or I'm up here and I'm listening to music. A lot of times I kind of, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm going to want to listen to.
Sure. I mean, it's a daily, right?
But anytime I'm writing or editing or doing something creative, it's always the simplest answer.
Okay.
And it's always instrumental music.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of instrumental stuff.
I thought of you in particular because last week you had mentioned how much you enjoyed jazz, which... I did not mention during the episode, I don't think, but for me, jazz, I don't fucking like it.
I don't like it.
But this is a band that I feel meets us, like meets exactly where both of us would totally fucking dig this.
What is it?
The band is called, and this is somebody that I just discovered, and I was listening to him when you came in.
Okay.
The Fearless Flyers. And the album is called Tailwinds, T-A-I-L. Wins.
Nice. Yeah.
It's the best way to describe it is if like all of the best street performers you've ever seen made a fucking bitchin' ass fucking instrumental album.
Okay.
And I would like every single one of these songs is like a bucket filler, dude.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Every
seems
one
to
of
be,
them.
Like there's a lot and a lot of it speaks to the frantic, like there's very chaotic elements in this album, but it has like almost like the end of it is almost like Chicago,
okay.
Like there's horns, there's there's one of them even that seems like an instrumental like sludgy punk song, that you're like hey it almost seems and it's like 54 seconds and they go it almost seems like that part in their set list they'd be like hey any punk fans out there like there's just like this almost like this Green Day intro and then they stop and then it's on to the next
but
it's,
we've all like we've already discussed this on the podcast Green Day's not punk
exactly I said kind of like that but it's an album that that immediately I added the whole album to my writing playlist. It's the perfect tool for me. This album is a great writing tool.
I love it, man. I couldn't agree more. I listen to a lot of instrumental stuff when I'm working because especially if I have to write anything because I can't
you
listen
have words. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It just because then then I just start typing words.
You start singing along. I feel like a lot of times but that's my problem, or I get distracted like straight up by trying to think of like.
Right.
What they're saying, you know?
Right, I agree.
But the Fearless Flyers, Tailwinds, that was something that I was like, what the fuck is this? And immediately is like, oh, jazz. This guy likes jazz.
This motherfucker likes jazz.
This motherfucker likes jazz.
That's awesome, man.
But what about you?
I've been listening to, so again, like in terms of my eclectic music taste, you know, one of the things that like is as roots as it gets for me is like the blues and country. Okay. Mm-hmm. So old country music. And I'm not talking about new country. I don't new country. It's just not my jam. If you like it, that's cool. It's just not my thing. But you know, a lot of old country music comes from, you know, this source of the blues. And then from country came rockabilly and western swing, and then rockabilly and rock and roll. And so I'm a big fan of that stuff, especially anything that has like a stand-up bass in it, because I'm a stand-up bass player. And and there's one band from Austin, Texas that like I can tell you, like there's only been a handful of times where a show has like brought me to tears, and they were one of them. And so I had to buy the records, and every record they've ever put out, which they only have like three records out, every one of them is just amazing. It's the Bell Furies, okay? You guys got to listen to the Bell Furies. And if you have to pick an album, no, don't do that. But if you had to, no, don't do that. But if you had to,
yeah,
Just Plain Lonesome, which is their first record,
okay,
is incredible. It's you have a lap steel, you have a stand-up bass, and you have an acoustic guitar.
Oh, lap steel, that's the thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and sometimes electric guitar, but like it's a three-piece regardless. There's no drums in it, and it's an incredible sound, and it's just, the music is amazing, and again, it's called Just Plain Lonesome, and if you're feeling down the dumps, man, this one is going to want to...
I'm fighting a rabbit trail, as
you
call it.
You're gonna go. You're gonna do it. Do it.
Lap steel is probably the coolest thing I've ever heard. Lap steel is one of the coolest.
Lap steel is
names.
Really fucking cool.
Lap steel.
Man.
Second would be Jawbone. I love a Jawbone.
Okay. But lap steel is up there. You did it, man. It's okay.
It was a little one.
No, it was in there.
We're back.
So the Bell Furies. Listen to the Bell Furies and tell me what you think of it, because it's fucking rad, man.
Yeah, I always love. That's the thing. I always take every suggestion ever given to me, because people, I am truly open to any kind of music. If somebody, I hate when people go like, I think you'd like them kind of thing, but like, I get what they're saying. I don't hate it. That's hyperbole. I truly do understand what you mean. But as far as like when I get a suggestion, I write it down, but I don't. It's not like right away. I'm going to go listen to it.
I'm actually super cool with that. Like, I think the better way to do it is say, just put this in your memory bank or write it down, like you said. And even if it's like 5 years from now and you like, and you break it out.
Well, that's
and you
where this came
it.
From. I don't remember where, I don't know how I just like, how
right,
this,
right.
I had this in my albums in Spotify. And just one day I was like, oh, what the fuck is this? And I listened to it. I was like, what the fuck? This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, funnily enough, when you bring this up, when you're talking about instrumentals before that, is like, I've been listening to Philip Glass lately, who's, you know, an orchestral musician. And I mean, his stuff's freaking awesome, man. But very prolific. But nonetheless, like, I love instrumental stuff. But it's not as though that he wasn't in my purview for like 10 years.
Yeah.
It's just I never listen to it.
It's a nice surprise.
It is. I send you messages all the time where I'm like, I don't know how I slept on this record, but you know, I'm like, it's been sitting here. It's even shit that we listen to, and I'm like, I haven't listened to this record. I don't know why, but I'm listening to it now, and it's amazing.
A lot of times, it's just opportunity and timing. It's really it's the fact that like at a point when I'm younger or something like that.
Yeah.
I really like. I basically liked the old school punk bands that I liked.
Yeah,
because that was the one I chose to buy at the store.
Exactly,
and
with the T-shirt or whatever.
Like, then I like this band. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't the fact that I was against TSOL. It's just the fact that later on I go, oh, TSOL's not bad.
Yeah, it's a pretty good band. Yeah,
but it's also like I wasn't into them back then when everybody had that.
Exactly.
I had the Dead Kennedys back patch.
Exactly,
that was mine.
Right.
So it's just a. It's
you're
just
like there was no other band. It's just the Dead Kennedys.
But
fuck yourself.
Yeah,
right?
There is no what the fuck Ramones. Like, yeah, I like actually the Ramones. I was Ramones first, but
I was Ramones. I got to see the Ramones play live, by the way.
I've seen a couple of them. You saw all of them?
I saw all of them.
Oh, nice. Yep. I saw Johnny and Marky, but I never saw Johnny.
I don't think
I saw Tommy.
Okay.
No, I never saw Joey and I never saw Tommy, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I saw
listen,
half.
Look, I don't mean to digress. We're going to get to our Ask a Black Belt section here, but I got to be honest with you, man. If you guys have not listened to Joey Ramone, sing What a Wonderful World.
Oh, yeah.
You're missing out.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two, listen to Joey Ramone sing Life's a Gas. It's on their last album called Adios Amigos.
Yeah.
Okay. And like the well, I could go on, but the list of those two songs, like
what's that other the third one would be what's that one was it the world flipped upside down that song
no
damn it
I mean I'll probably play for you do afterwards. I probably do but I'm not thinking of it
it's, yeah I, well I also I'm, did I'm, a perfect job singing yeah, it, I'm so under I don't
pressure
understand
right now
you don't know the ba 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 ba. But yeah, Joey Ramone rules. Rest in peace. But let's get into the world famous.
Ask a black belt. You can also, guys, you can also jump on Facebook and, yes. and follow us on
oh,
6 a.m. at the 6 a.m. podcast. So if you have not done that, because we put all of our episodes up there for both, you know, the YouTube stuff and, you know, the stuff that's on Anchor.
Yes.
You know, is up there. So and our podcast is available in all platforms all over the place. So, yeah, join in, ask questions. We'll happily curate those questions and Pat asks me these things without having prior knowledge of what the question is. So
I do let him know if we have questions or not,
right.
But I do not let him know what the questions are.
Right.
And mentioned earlier for our first question today,
okay.
Because we do have one fun one,
we
and
have
one serious one. mentioned before, Adam, listener Adam.
Okay.
I don't know if he wants me to say his last name or not, so I'll just say Adam.
Yeah, we'll just say Adam.
Student as well.
Student of ours, yeah. Yep.
He says, Pat, I have a question for Jeff. What are some, quote, unspoken rules of BJJ, which ones are stupid and which ones are helpful?
Okay, the unwritten laws of jiu-jitsu are really, really simple, okay? And I mean, I shouldn't say that. There are plenty. It depends. Usually it depends on the culture of the gym. There's going to be some, you kind of pick up on those vibes. But in terms of etiquette, you know, like there's a simple way to solve all of your jiu-jitsu problems, and that is don't be a dickhead.
Yeah.
Don't be a dickhead. It's super, super simple. If you're rolling with somebody who weighs less than you and you're a higher belt, for instance, showing them what time it is isn't necessary.
Yeah.
They already know. Because here's another thing I'll tell you that in terms of like the way that it used to be, the unknown things is that or the unspoken things, I should say, is that it used to be like this, is that when you went to an academy, like if you were of a lower belt, then you got out of the way of higher belts. Obviously,
oh, yeah.
Black belt being the highest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like if you're rolling on the mat, for instance, if you're literally grappling on the mat and you and your buddy.
Oh, you mean literally get out of the
yeah,
way.
For instance, like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh. As a for instance.
I thought you meant like you get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a component of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and it doesn't really exist in the same way as it used to, but it used to be that like if we use the literal context of grappling and you're rolling and then you and your white belt or blue belt buddy roll into a black belt and a brown belt rolling, you're the one that has to move.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like those are unspoken rules. I don't enforce that stuff. Like if you know, I try and get out of the way of my students if they're rolling into me, you know, because everybody's safety is really important to me and I don't get butt hurt if you don't move.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah, yeah.
But that's an unspoken rule.
But that is one. Okay.
What this is talking about is like, don't be a dickhead.
Right.
You are, while you are a student of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you are a guest in our gym, right? And what we should say is that we have everybody that's ever made a belt promotion, whether it's from white to blue or blue to purple, brown, black, so on and so forth. You at that point understand how much time, effort, energy, and commitment they've made to that art. They're more knowledgeable than you, and they've demonstrated that ability consecutively over time.
And they have bigger penises than you.
Right,
or
of course.
Vaginas.
And I still have my balls. Right.
They have bigger vaginas
yeah.
than you.
They have bigger vaginas.
That's not desirable, is it? I was trying to be equal, Jeff, and
like,
you just
fucked it all up.
I just fucked everything up, Jeff. You're making such a good point.
I was like, listen, you know, I was like all excited about our subscribers like growing up and
Pat goes, dick joke.
And he's like, oh, large vaginas.
Right?
And then I watch all of them drop off.
Oh.
I was like, great, we've got two listeners now. Great job.
Sounds like
Pat.
A bunch of small vaginas to me.
But yeah,
But that does, that also what your point was saying is like you're not like doesn't mean like if you're a white belt, go bump into white belts at another gym, go like fuck you guys.
Yeah,
like,
don't be a dickhead all the time. Yeah, just don't be a dick.
But like, you do understand that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the unspoken rule. Like the one that doesn't come through. Like there's not like a rule seminar when you start grappling. There's like here's how you behave on the mat, you know. But I'll give you a secret one.
Ooh.
You guys want a secret one?
Yeah. This one, I may have to.
This one's for you, Adam. I'll give this to you. Oh. And that is.
Everybody else, stop listening.
You don't necessarily know it, but every class has an enforcer. Okay.
Oh, really?
And
I don't think I knew that.
Well, now you do.
Wait, is it Chris?
I'm not telling you who the enforcer is.
Can you tell?
I could tell you this, that if you're acting like a dickhead, your next role will be with the enforcer.
Oh, really?
And the enforcer will show you what time it is. So
it's Shannon, isn't it?
I'm not telling you who the enforcer is.
You're really not? No. Am I still on the I'm 100% eligible to be.
It doesn't matter.
With?
You could be another black belt sitting across from me. I will not tell you who the enforcer is. It's
what
my
the
class.
Fuck?
It's my class.
Oh, so wait, do you know?
Enforcer could be me. You have no idea.
That's not fair.
Life's not fair. Get used to it.
Have you had to do that to me? Tell me the truth.
You don't have to tell me who it is. No. You've never had to have the enforcer.
Have I ever rolled with the enforcer?
Yes. Ah. You've rolled with the enforcer, but not because you were
being a
dick.
But like you weren't like you didn't go 100%. I decree. Yeah. So next person that Jeff says, hey, you should roll with or you guys roll, then we'll know at least one of those guys is the enforcer. Whoever gets their ass kicked is not the enforcer.
So there you go, Adam.
Ian Strong from Strong Words with Ian Strong.
Yep.
He says, are black belts bigger than white belts? Or is that a stereotype?
This is the best question I've ever had. I think it's obvious.
Yeah.
Without doing any type of real scientific
you
study.
You get out of the way.
That's
black
right.
Belt.
All black belts are bigger.
Look here. All right.
In every way possible than lower belts.
Right. You're the enforcer.
I'm not telling you the enforcer is.
Jeff, I'm the enforcer now.
You can't.
Am I the enforcer?
You can't be.
If I was the enforcer, would you tell me?
You would know
Does
that
the enforcer
you're,
know the enforcer who they are?
Not always.
Oh, is it a different person each time?
See?
God damn it.
It's fun, isn't it?
Jeff, what a fucking M. Night Shyamalan twist.
The only thing you need to know is that I'm in charge.
Man, this is crazy.
So if I don't worry. I know who I need to call on if I need something taken care of.
What happens when you're out of town?
I know who I need to talk to get things taken care of.
I'm going
to
be fucking watching you like a hawk. Oh, he's talking to Joe. He's talking to Joe. Yeah, it's Joe.
You know, so there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all black belts are bigger in every way. Yeah. And somebody is the enforcer, and you just don't know who it is.
Yeah, but it's probably.
But I do.
Yeah, but he knows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, super important. We've got some exciting things coming over in the next couple weeks, so I just wanted to say this because we could have ended the show at any time at this point, but hopefully we'll put this one in, and that is we are going to have our first run of T-shirts available in the next couple of weeks.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we'll be able to, like, and we're going to be setting up a couple of different channels, too, not just through Facebook, so Instagram, hopefully you'll find us on Twitter and TikTok as well. So we're going to start setting up some channels, some relevant channels for you guys to reach out to us and talk to us. And we'll have some T-shirts available because we want to make money.
Yeah, Jeff and I are going to floss.
Yeah, we're going to floss.
We're going to floss on TikTok.
Yeah. Yep,
and that'll
exactly.
That'll get us sponsorships and
money.
Hey, also, if you want to sponsor the show, let us know at Baby Mermaid Productions. We can discuss sponsorship tiers and or anything else as far as commercials or anything.
Yeah, because we're ready to sell out whenever you guys are.
Yeah, we're whores.
Yeah,
so,
total whores.
We will tell you we love everything. So
everything.
And so I guess we love you.
That's it. Or, as I like to say, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.